You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
We are concluding our series today, Live No Lies, and it doesn't quite fit Mother's Day in some ways, but I think it's the best thing I can do for mothers out there is to just share God's Word and His truth in its as much as I can in its fullness. And so we've been discussing spiritual warfare for 6 weeks, and it's not probably what you've expected. Or maybe, well, it's not like what others may share, which is much more kind of almost conspiracy theory behind the scenes. Oh my gosh, look at this, watch out for this. You got to watch for this. And it's kind of fear-mongering. It tries to bring people together for fear-mongering. And what we are talking about really is the fact that spiritual warfare is much more about the truth of who Jesus is in a world that keeps pushing it out of the way. So let's go to that. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now this is, I am the way, the truth, and the life, one of the most famous sayings that Jesus ever made. And often what Christians do with this, and I would say it's there in the text, is they show how Jesus is making such an exclusive claim of being not, I am a way, or I am pointing this is the way, or I might be the best way, but I am the way, like there is no other. And that's in the text, but what happens so often is we reduce the text to just kind of that proof text, not misquoting it, but a proof text of, well, see, Jesus is the way. And we move on from there. But I think that's why Eugene Peterson, he wrote it's a worthy book to read. It's called The Jesus Way. And Eugene Peterson said this, the Jesus way and the Jesus truth must be congruent. Only when the Jesus way is organically joined with the Jesus truth do we get the Jesus life. We're going to unpack a little of what he's getting at with this text today as we explore these 3 points, believe the way, know the truth, and live that life, okay? Believe the way, know the truth, live the life. First of all, believe the way. What is the way? Did you know that the first mention of the followers of Jesus in the book of Acts, they were called Christians later on, but before that, they were called followers of the way. Probably from this name of Jesus, but even more so, the fact that Jesus said, follow me. I can't help but fall into the Mandalorian. This is the way. The Mandalorian. Any of you seen that? No? Okay. Anyways, but the point is, when Jesus says, follow me, he wasn't saying just try to imitate me or I am a model of how, but he was saying, follow along with me. And as you follow along with me, you will witness how I offend the religious and welcome the outcast and play with the children and defy politicians of all types. I kneel down to the least. I challenge the wealthy. I forgive the worst of the sinners. I cast out demons. I shock and dismay the crowds. I do all of these things, and as you are following me, you see how I live in such a way that I'm displaying who God really is and how to respond to God's love and grace, because I'm always communing with the Father, and anything you see that I'm doing, my Father is doing, and anything the Father wants, I am doing. So that is the way of Jesus. He loves us so deeply. He wants the best for us. He's saying, follow me, be part of the way that I am living. He is God's way to us as well as our way to God. He is the means and the end. He is the axis mundi, as it's been stated, which is the center of the world. He is the nexus between heaven and earth. He's where everything comes together. He is, as we will see later at Colossians, in whom all things hold together, in whom heaven and earth are united. He is what reality is. Now, a few years ago, I don't know if you've ever remember this, but I don't hear it said much anymore, but it says, how do you know what a duck is? Well, if it quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, swims like a duck, looks like a duck, it's probably a duck, right? Yeah. And I think we need to understand that when it says, well, how do you know what the way is? Well, if it looks like the way of Jesus, talks like the way, forgives like the way, loves like the way, then it's probably the way. Eugene Peterson said this, ways and means that are removed or abstracted from Jesus and the scriptures that give witness to him amount sooner or later to a betrayal of Jesus. In this kingdom of God world, the person that we follow is the primary shaping influence on the person that we become. Christians follow Jesus. Too many people, I think, have turned Christianity into what I'd call an ideology. You might think, well, you're just supposed to, and I was kind of taught, sort of, just believe these facts, these things about Jesus. Don't worry about looking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, serving like Jesus, forgiving like Jesus, or loving like Jesus. Just get these intellectual things in your head. And what we have done is we've limited what the word believe means. When I'm saying believe the way, I'm saying it more like Arthur M. Wright means it. He said in the first century world, belief, pistis, which is the Greek word for it, also carried political connotations. The word additionally signifies trust, allegiance, even loyalty. And that's why the book of James says belief is not simply, you know, intellectual assenting to something. He goes, James writes, you believe that God is one, you do well, but even the demons believe and shudder. Belief is much more loyalty, adherence, following along with Jesus, trusting and clinging to him. Okay? And so that means we start looking a little more, not physically, but looking more like Jesus. Our words sound a little more like him. Our actions, our attitudes, etc. Because the devil, you see, he has no problem in you believing some facts. So long as you don't start actually living in them. Okay? He doesn't mind you have a few ideas right. So long as you aren't actually aligning your life to the life of Jesus. But believing is really being loyal to the Jesus way. That's why this is probably, well, it's I need to reread this quote again and again from Eugene Peterson in his book. But it's like, oof, I see it. We're all tempted to do this, especially Christian pastors. We want to grow our churches. We want to have a great big crowd. And how best to do that? Well, do what works. What does the world say works? Well, let's do that, right? Okay, this is what Eugene Peterson writes. More often than not, I find my Christian brothers and sisters uncritically embracing the ways and means practiced by the high-profile men and women who lead large corporations, congregations, nations, and causes, people who show us how to make money, win wars, manage people, sell products, manipulate emotions, and who then write books or give lectures telling us how we can do that, what they are doing. But these ways and means more often than not violate the ways of Jesus. North American Christians are conspicuous for going along with whatever the culture decides is charismatic, successful, influential. Whatever gets things done, whatever can gather a crowd of followers, hardly noticing that these ways and means are at odds with the clearly marked way that Jesus walked and called us to follow. Doesn't anybody notice that the ways and means taken up often enthusiastically are blasphemously at odds with the way Jesus leads his followers? Why doesn't anybody notice? Ouch. Ouch. You can't get, like, as he said, the Jesus life without, and just follow a few Jesus truths and live whatever way you want. Who are we following? Ouch, right? But believe, be loyal to the Jesus way. Realize that's what's aligned with reality, by the way. That's when we get to know the truth. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's profoundly different than saying, I have truth, or I speak some truth, or figure out your own truth, that's for sure. So J. Sidlow Baxter writes, fundamentally, our Lord's message was himself. And if you read through the four Gospels, you'll notice again and again that much of what Jesus talks about is about the kingdom of God, but about how he is the king and how he is and ushering in the kingdom. And almost all the parables and all the sayings are about Jesus himself. He did not come merely to preach a gospel. He himself is that gospel. He did not come merely to give bread. He said, I am the bread. He did not merely come to shed light. He said, I am the light. He did not merely come to show the door. He said, I am the door. He did not come merely to name a shepherd. He said, I am the shepherd. He did not come merely to point the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We said in the first week of this series that what is truth is what aligns to reality. And when Jesus says, I am the truth, he's saying, I am reality. I am what everything needs to be aligned to. Everything in comparison to the reality in Jesus is either a distortion, a lie, or aligned to him. Jesus is what a human being will be in God's kingdom one day. Jesus is the future, your future. Jesus is what a leader is to be. Jesus is from whom all things find their meaning and purpose. I don't know, was it 8 years ago or so? We put up a sign during our on the property because we were told we can't put up a sign unless we have a development plan on the property over by FGCU that says anything except you can put up a political sign. Or I think that was about it. So we put up what we called a political sign. Do you remember it, any of you? It said, Jesus for President, Thrive Community Church. And I know some people thought it was really snarky, but what we were saying is Jesus is the standard. He is the reality. And any leader, if he's going to be anything at all, needs to look more like Jesus. Right? Not to just use Jesus. See, why am I saying if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, is because you need some discernment to say, hey, if it doesn't sound like Jesus, if it doesn't look like Jesus, if it doesn't serve like Jesus, it ain't of Jesus. So I think that sign had some reality to it. This is how Paul writes about this in Colossians. He said, for by him, that is Jesus Christ or the Son of God, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In other words, God has designed. Before he said, let there be light, he had already set up a blueprint for all of reality, who is his Son. Jesus is, and the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is lived out, and all of creation is to be in harmony and connected to. So all of his plans were planned so that what it meant to be in the image of God was to look like Jesus. What it meant to be a part of his creation is to be like who Jesus is. He is the center of reality. The whole of creation is in that sense front-loaded. Though we may not see it in the book of Genesis right of way, what it all means. It means that's the way things are to be. And this is the direction God is heading the world. And we find the future of all of creation in Jesus Christ. He is before all things. That is, all things fall in line with him. And in him, all things are holding together. He is the one who is the center of it all. That's why Colin Gunton wrote it this way. In our desire to impose form on our world and our lives, we've lost the capacity to see the form that is already there. And in this lies not liberation, but alienation, the cutting off from things as they really are. He's a tough read, by the way, in what he's all saying. He writes a lot on the Trinity. But I think what he's trying to get at, if I understand him at this point, is that God creates this world to be in line with how the Father loves the Son, who glorifies the Father, who sends the Spirit, that everything is about relationships, which we have said from the beginning of Thrive, and that it's about giving and receiving. It's about engendering and blessing. It's about truly serving others as God does in himself. And when we try to set up that the world's all about power and domination and hoarding and getting our way and aggrandizing and depleting, we are totally out of line with what God intends. All of creation will one day again be in harmony. That's what God says, in harmony with the dance of love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we are going to be brought into that community to celebrate forever. So to know the truth means that Jesus is the center, and we use him as the standard for everything. So the Jesus way and the Jesus truth brings the Jesus life, Peterson says. So what is to live that life? What does it mean to live the life as Jesus has given it? It's not simply that he talks about existing, or it's not eternal life in the Gospel of John, which it talks about eternal life a number of times, is not about the length of time as much as the quality of what that life is like. Too many people are living life now without much quality to it. And what I mean by that is not that they're not productive or they're not having fun. That's not what we're talking about. With quality life is relational life. It's giving and receiving and serving life. And maybe you have to be, when, like my mother, she died, what, a year and a half ago now? It's all a blur. And towards the end, she said, you know, I just can't do that much. She was in assisted living, and her memory was failing her. Yeah, she could. What she did was she was on the receiving end of love and affection from others. The quality of life is not about what you can do. It's about how you are in relationship with others and how you can make a difference and how you can receive, and then she was able to still give, and almost every, you know, I don't care, you can pray, you can serve, you can love, you can talk to, I mean, there's so many different ways, and even when you can't, others can do it for you, and therefore, you are still part of a quality life. It's really about the quality of life, a life of love, not the length of time, even though eternity is before you. And I'm wondering, if the quality of life that we show and display as Christians in our culture or around the world, if people see that quality of love in our relationships, don't you think they'll want to be a part of it? Right? That's why John Mark Comer writes, "The idols of ideology are failing." What if in the aftermath people we're turned back to the living God. People can't live without meaning or purpose and community. The secular world can't seem to offer that. Jesus can and does. What if the church were to come back to her call as a community radiant with the love of God? I think that's what the early church was in the book of Acts. Read through the first few chapters of that book in the New Testament, and you will see how they served one another, loved one another, gave of themselves to each other, and were thanking God every day for what was going on. People need to see real community. Okay? It's not a marketing technique. You can't get it in a brochure. You can't watch a TikTok video and get community. You got to actually live with people. And sometimes it's tough in Christian community. It's the only way to do it, though. That's why John Tyson says a Christian community is a web of stubbornly loyal relationships, knotted together in a living network of persons in a complex and challenging cultural setting who are committed to practicing the way of Jesus together for the renewal of the world. That's a great goal. It's a great way to understand what we're trying to do. And I'm hoping you maybe experienced it here, there, a little touch here and there of some of that. That we are going to commit ourselves to living the Jesus way with the Jesus truth, to have a Jesus life in community. And I think that's the most effective spiritual warfare you can ever do, is to just live as Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you realize that it's possible because Jesus made his way to you? He didn't tell you, hey, I'm the way, but you've got to come over here. I'm the way, but you better do this. Or I'm the truth, but you better get right over here. Or do this or do that first. There were no prerequisites to any of this. This is a promise from God that Jesus is your way, your truth, and your life. And for him to be that, these words were not easy to say. They're bold. They're exclusive. They're amazingly obnoxious in some ways that anyone could ever say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he didn't just say it. He lived it to such an extent. He died for it. He gave up everything to be your way, your truth, and your life. God so committed to this creation that God became part of it in Jesus Christ, and that he is so committed to you that he became human, and God, and Jesus still remains human even as the Son of God. He's not less human now. He didn't leave it behind and say, you know, that was nice for a few, you know, couple decades, but I'm done with it. God has so committed and loved this creation and this world so much, he has become a part of it. He wants to be at home in it. He wants to be at home with you and with each other. And one day, he will bring heaven and earth together to be home together once again. That's how the book of Revelation ends, with heaven and earth coming together. You being so glorified and beautified by the glory and presence of God. And all of creation, again, gets to where God intended it always to be. No other religion talks about what God sacrifices or gives but Christianity. Like it or not, you can study them all. It'll talk about how you better sacrifice or what you better give or what path or way you need to follow. But Christianity says Jesus was the way, and he made the way by sacrificing and suffering and giving up everything for you. That's what's amazing to me. So he's the way to live, the way to God, and God's way to us. He is the truth by which all creation will be aligned again one day. And he brings the fullness of life. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you this day that we can live. We live by your truth, by your life by the way that you served us without limit to the point of death on the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of this. Today we lift up our mothers, our wives, our spouses, our daughters. We offer, O Lord, a prayer of thanks for how you are working, how you are reflected in their lives. We ask that you would encourage them to live in the Jesus way, with the Jesus truth, to express the Jesus life, and help us to do the same, all of us, Lord, that this fellowship here and all of our relationships within our families and our neighborhoods would reflect that, that people would say, huh, that talks like a duck and looks like a duck, it must be a duck that looks like what Jesus is and talks like Jesus and serves like Jesus and loves like, wow, that's who Jesus is. Lord, we want to reflect that. It's the most effective spiritual warfare we can ever do is to just be more like you, Lord Jesus, and to trust you completely with our lives. We do lift up those who need your healing touch today. For Tom and Lori Hay, as they recover, we thank you for their progress. For Hank, as he will undergo surgery this Thursday, we pray your healing is even before the surgery this week. For Dick Griske's friend Dave, who may only have, according to doctors, a few months to live, we pray, Lord, that you continue to strengthen his faith. You bring the healing you want into his life. You make him to make a difference, Lord, that he can show the Jesus way and the Jesus truth and the Jesus life in these moments, Lord, as he trusts you implicitly and fully, and we thank you for that faith that you have given to him. Lord God, we pray for Jaden and for AJ as they are doing missionary work this summer at national parks through Christian ministry in the national parks. We thank you for that organization. We thank you for that you have placed them in this time. We pray your blessing upon them this day, Lord God. We also lift up, Lord, the FGCU and our partnerships with them in many ways, as well as, Lord, the orientations this summer, the opportunities that you give us on that campus, Lord, to impact the lives of many students, Lord. We pray that that continues and that grows, and that we would become an intergenerational church in many ways, learning such wisdom from our elders, those who have more experience along the way, and that we all follow you, Lord, and each of us can follow the lead of each other in its serving and giving and loving. Lord, in a few moments we will, offer ourselves to you and with our tithes and offerings and come to the Lord's table today, Lord, as you so desire to commune with us and come close to us and give yourself to us in a very special way this day, Lord. We pray that you would prepare us to receive your goodness and grace, and that you, Lord, impact us in such a way that you are more evident in the way that we live this coming week. Lord, if we would say we have no sin, well, we would not be, there would be no truth in us. You are the truth, Lord, that we need. And as we confess our sins to you, our brokenness, our failings, our desires that are just all over the charts, Lord, we confess all that to you. We surrender all that to you. You forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We pray all of these things because you are, Lord Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. In your name, amen.